the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 69 of the Journey Into podcast.
69, dudes!
Featuring, once again, an adventure with Lieutenant Hornblower. This is our 10th episode of the Hornblower series, and we've seen a lot of development in our young British officer and his companions. We've seen Horatio on his first outing on a ship. We've seen him make wise decisions and help his leaders and offer solutions that others may not have seen. The last time we were traveling with Horatio, we saw them finally defeat the Spanish fleet at San Domingo, or Haiti, and then we saw them travel to the shores of Jamaica to stand at their court of inquiry regarding the events leading to Captain Sawyer's incapacitability and being relieved from duty as captain of the HMS Renown. And Lieutenant Hornblower and Lieutenant Bush seemed to ferret quite well. Lieutenant Buckland, on the other hand, while he was not disciplined, would probably never advance beyond lieutenant in the Royal Navy, mostly due to being captured in bed when the Spaniards tried to overtake the HMS Renown at sea. Horatio, on the other hand, as we learned at the end of last episode, was advanced to the office of commander. And so in today's story, we learn that advancement in rank and authority did not always mean raising to great heights, especially when peace is declared and there is no war to fight. So come with me, and let's journey to London in peacetime with Horatio Hornblower.
We present Nigel Anthony in The Hornblower Story, adapted from four of the C.S. Forrester novels by Val Gielgud, with Terence Skelton as William Bush. Part 5 from Lieutenant Hornblower, Home and Beauty.
The sequel to that court of inquiry held at Kingston, Jamaica, was, of course, that I left Renown with feelings admittedly mixed, and busied myself with making Retribution my new command ready for sea. At last, I could wear on my left shoulder the epaulette marking my promotion to commander, which I had coveted for so long. There was a certain irony in the fact that my first responsibility was not to fight the king's enemies, but to deal with the fleas and bedbugs which infested the ship as the result of her previous occupation by Spanish prisoners. It was a relief to escape from the insects, not to mention such trifles as cordage and cables, pumps and dry rot, salt pork and the articles of war, to visit renown and bid goodbye to William Bush. We were both a trifle limp. The prize money had been paid for the capture of Samana, and we had spent most of it during 2 nights of sampling the dubious delights of Kingston. After that, as I recall, it had taken me a little time to gather the sense of my sailing orders.
So you sail tomorrow?
In the morning.
With a bouncer?
England.
You're in luck. There are men out here who've not seen England for 10 years.
Oh, you'll see me back. It's the usual round, convoy to the Downs, dispatches for the commissioners, pick up the replies and convoy out again.
And you'll get your commission confirmed.
Well, I hope so, if nothing goes amiss.
Not much chance of that, sir. An 18-gun sloop with retribution, speed and handiness can deal with any privateer afloat. Besides, confirmation of a commission bestowed by an admiral on a foreign station is no more than a formality.
If the frogs don't make peace in the meantime.
You've been reading too many news sheets. With Boney at the helm in France, we shan't see any armistice. In any case, good luck to you, Mr. Hornblower.
Thank you. And to you, Mr. Bush.
But Bush was wrong. Before I reached England, hostilities had ceased, and the ambassadors were meeting in Paris to settle terms of peace at last, after 9 years of war. So it was not in the West Indies that I next saw Bush, but outside the dockyard gates in Portsmouth, with a penetrating east wind blowing down the street. Bush, I thought, did not only look cold. He looked ill and shabby, with the collar of his pea jacket turned up over a muffler, his hands in his pockets, and his head back against the wind.
Sir! Sir! Mr. Hornblower!
If it's not Bush, by heaven! It's good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Oh, don't call me sir.
No, sir, why not?
They didn't confirm my commission. Preliminaries of peace were signed the day I took retribution into Plymouth.
What infernal luck. But you've applied for an appointment into a ship as a lieutenant.
Yes, and I suppose you have, Bush?
Too true. I even tried for a billet in the merchant service. They told me I didn't know enough about bills of lading or cargo stowage, so half pay. And I'm feeling the cold.
Well, I spent a month in London. There was always a crowd around the Navy office.
Not surprising. In peacetime, there are only appointments for a tenth of the lieutenants employed in war.
And you need vast seniority or a friend at court. Don't I know it? Ooh, well, let's get out of the cold, at least. Come with me into the long rooms here. Or are you busy?
Oh, I'm not busy, but I've heard it's an elegant establishment where they play for high stakes. I doubt if I can...
Don't argue, Bush. It's too cold. There'll be a roaring fire, which is what we chiefly need. Here we are, Bush. Come and warm your hands. Oh, my teeth are chattering. good morning to you, Marquis. I have the pleasure to present to you Lieutenant William Bush, Monsieur le Marquis de Saint-Croix.
I'm enchanted.
Honored, sir.
A bitter wind today, Monsieur Hornblower. It will be rough in the channel.
Indeed it will.
No ships will come in from the westward. Have you had the good fortune to see Monsieur Wilson or Monsieur Truelove lately, Mr. Hornblower?
I have met Mr. Wilson. Wilson and Truelove, Bush, are a firm employed by perhaps a quarter of the Navy to dispose of captures.
Yes, I've heard of them.
May I hope you have been fortunate in the matter of prize money, Mr. Bush?
No such luck. Mine was paid to me at Kingston.
And Kingston, Marquis, is not cheap.
A pity. I understand that the ship's company of the Caradoc will share £70,000 when they come in. 70,000? Such a sum?
Likely enough. Those Biscay cruises are the ones for profit.
But while this wind persists, the poor fellows must wait before enjoying their fortune. They are daily expected. I trust you will consider yourself at home in the long rooms, Monsieur Bush. Now I hope you will excuse me. Business to attend to.
I'd call him a strange customer. Speaks good English, though.
Like many another, he fled the revolution. And now he runs this comfortable place for both Navy and Army officers.
But what do you do here, Hornblower?
I play whist.
Whist?
A good many men from the services drop in here for whist. I'm always glad to make a fourth.
But I'd heard...
Of hazard, Bataille, roulette. Now, they're played in the room beyond for higher stakes. No, I stay in here.
Wise man. Do you win?
Enough to live.
Of course you have your half pay.
Not entitled.
But you're a permanent lieutenant, surely.
Yes, and I was also a temporary commander. I drew 3 months' pay for that rank before the Admiralty refused to confirm.
And then they put you under stoppages?
Until I've repaid the excess. And I've lived through 3 months of it, 5 more, and I'll be back on half pay.
Oh, dear Peter, it's an outrage. I've my half pay at least. Let me lend
you some. I can't accept it, Bush. I'll never forget your offer. You've brightened the world for me by making it, and I'll never cease to be grateful to you, but no.
Heaven's name, why not?
Well, things aren't as bad as they seem. I'm in receipt of a regular salarium from our friend the Marquis.
Oh?
Yes. 10 shillings and 6 pence every Saturday morning, rain or shine.
And what do you have to do for it?
Play whist. Only that.
Only that?
With any 3 that needs a 4th.
I see.
Then I'm made free of these rooms without subscription. And I can keep my winnings.
Yet you pay your losses.
Oh, naturally. But the losses come less often than you might think. Whist players who find it hard to obtain partners, who are cold-shouldered, are naturally the bad players. Even so, they're strangely anxious to play. When the Marquis happens to be in here, and Major Jones, and Admiral Smith, and Mr. Robinson are seeking a 4th, while everyone seems strangely preoccupied, the Marquis catches my eye and I offer to be the 4th. It's odd that they seem flatter to play with Lieutenant Hornblower, for quite often it costs them money.
I see. It's a long way from Red Hot Shot Battery at Zamana.
It's not all beer and skittles, Bush. After 4 hours or so, I find it irksome to be with bad players. There are moments when I would rather lose to a good player than win from a bad one.
But that's the point. How about the losses?
Oh, I can deal with them. Just. I keep £10 in reserve, so I can endure a certain run of loss. 5 more months and I'll be again on half pay. And even before that, some captain may take me off the beach.
True, I suppose.
Customers arriving.
Mr. Hornblower, you make up a 4.
With pleasure, Major.
And your friend, perhaps?
Mr. Bush does not play. You will, I know, excuse him. There's a letter on the last page of the Naval Chronicle on the table there which might interest you, Bush. You'll find your own report in print, as forwarded by Mr. Buckland to the Lord's Commissioners.
Mine?
Yours. And there's another item also, which you might find of some importance.
Copy of letter from First Lieutenant Buckland of renown to Evan Nepean, Esquire, Secretary to the Lord Commissioners of the Admiralty, relating to the fighting at Zamana in San Domingo under the direction of Lieutenant William Bush, whose report I enclose. Sir, I have the honor to inform you regarding the recent operations on the island of San Domingo. Suggestions of Lieutenant Horatio Hornblower, who was my second in command on this occasion, and to whom in great part the success of the attack against Zamana was due. And now, Lieutenant Horatio Hornblower must play cards for a living. Last night, the jolly boat of His Majesty's Revenue Cutter Rapid was swept away by an ebb tide and sunk. 2 seamen and Mr. Midshipman Wellard were drowned. Mr. Wellard was a promising young man recently appointed to Rapid after having served as volunteer in His Majesty's ship Renown.
Thank you, Major. A very good hat.
You will excuse me, Hornblower. It's time for me to leave.
You saw it?
Poor young Wellard.
Yes.
He deserved better.
And when do we meet again?
Perhaps we could die.
You can always find me here. Have you a regular place to stay?
I stay wherever it's convenient.
Quite so. I lodge in Highbury Street. This is the address. Would you care to share my room? My landlady is a sharp one. She'll make a charge for an extra cot for you, but even so...
It'll save money.
Yes.
And I'll see more of you, Hornblower.
Yes, yes, you would.
And young Wellard, reading about him has started me thinking again. Do you think he had anything to do with Captain Sawyer falling down that hatchway?
I couldn't give an opinion. I didn't know enough about it. But you must forgive me. My partners are waiting for another rubber. Don't lose that address.
Yes?
Mrs. Mason? I believe Lieutenant Hornblower.
Oh, him?
Yes, I believe he boards here with you.
Top of the house. Find your way up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Mason.
Who's that?
William Bush.
Come in, my dear fellow.
Thanks, and how is it with you?
Well, not very grand quarters, as you can see. Now, you take the chair. I'll sit on the bed. And you?
So-so.
Now, I must see about your bed for the night. I'll give Mrs. Mason a hail. Mrs. Mason! Mrs. Mason!
And what are you wanting now, Mr. Hornblower?
A bed for this gentleman.
That'll be a shilling. Can't wash the sheets for less with soap as it is.
Very good, Mrs. Mason. Here you are.
I've no doubt you'll be talking till all hours. Mind you don't disturb my other gentlemen. Mariah! Douse the light while you talk, or you'll be burning a shilling's worth of tallow.
Yeah, of course.
Mariah! Mariah!
Coming, Mother. Something you want, Mr. Hornblower?
You'll make up a truckle bed for this gentleman here in Mr. Hornblower's room.
Yes, Mother.
You're not teaching today, Mariah?
No, sir.
It's not the King's birthday yet. Why this holiday?
Mumps, sir. They all have mumps, except Johnny Bristow.
Well, that agrees with everything you've told me about the school and Johnny Bristow, Mariah.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mariah, no gossiping. Get along with you. Go on, find the sheets. I'll be right behind you.
Bit of a tartar.
Not the old girl. Ah, she's not too bad.
And the young girl? The pity she's so plain.
A heart of gold, Bush. More important in my circumstances.
Maybe. You know, this fellow Bonaparte, he's a restless cove.
Restless? The only word for him.
Seems to be no satisfying him. Back in 96, in the Mediterranean, when I was commissioned lieutenant, he was just a general. I heard his name for the first time when we were blockading Toulon. Then off he went to Egypt, and now what is it he calls himself? First consul?
And he's Napoleon now, not Bonaparte anymore. First consul for life.
Funny sort of name. I'd not choose it for myself.
A Lieutenant Napoleon Bush? No, no. It wouldn't sound well. Now, this talk, he's going a step further. That he's going to call himself Emperor.
Emperor? He must be mad.
If he is, he's the most dangerous madman in Europe.
Must say, I don't trust him over this Malta business. Not an inch. Mark my words, Hornblower, we'll have to fight him again in the end. Teach him a lesson he won't forget. We can't go on like this.
Quite right. And sooner rather than later. No more half pay for the likes of us.
No.
All the same, war is a foul business. Remember the things we've seen.
Aye, you're right.
Well, Boney can call himself Emperor if he likes. Come in. Ah, here's your bed.
Over here or over there, Mr. Hornblower?
Bush?
Doesn't matter.
Then I'll put it against the wall.
I'll help you, Mariah.
Oh, no, no, sir, please, no. I can do it.
Yeah. Oh, you pump a good pillow, Maria. I hope you've already had the mumps.
Oh, yes, sir, as a child. On both sides. You've no need to worry. I shan't give them to you.
I wasn't thinking of that.
You're going out directly,
yes,
sir?
Yes, I ought to have left already.
Well, just let me take your coat for a minute, sir. I can sponge it, maybe freshen it up.
Well, I wouldn't put you to the trouble.
No, no trouble at all, sir. Oh, please let me have it. Looks a bit...
The worse for wear, eh? There's no cure yet discovered, Maria, for old age.
There's some spirits of art on below stairs, sir. It'll make quite a difference, really. I'll only be a minute with it.
Oh, very well. Here you are.
You've mended that shirt yourself, sir.
Yes, I have.
You don't need to mention it. Neither done it, sir.
And a good deal better, I've no doubt.
No, no, I'd not say that. But it's not fitting that you should patch your own shirt.
And who should I patch?
You're too quick with your tongue for me. Too quick by half. Just wait and talk to Lieutenant Bush while I sponge this.
You know, Bush, there's a strange pleasure in knowing that there's one human being who cares whether I'm dead or alive.
I know what you mean. You're going to the long rooms now?
I am. And you to the dockyard. Your monthly visit to the clerk of the check?
That's it.
Well, as soon as Maria brings back my coat, we can walk together as far as the rooms.
What makes the girl so nervous?
I've not noticed.
I think you should.
I was to move in high society that afternoon. A colonel of dragoons, a commodore, and Lord Parry, an admiral after Camperdown, and known, in spite of snow-white curls and mild speech, as Old Bloody Bones, from his treatment of the lower deck far back in the American War. Whatever his abilities as a seaman, there was no doubt of his talent at the whist table. The line of tricks taken grew up before him silently like a snake.
You, sir, encountered the worst of fortune.
Indeed, my lord.
I cannot remember another occasion when the dealer has held a single trump twice running.
One must expect every possible combination of cards, my lord.
Sir, it's rare to see such a run. You play an excellent game. Forgive me, but for the moment your name escapes me.
Hornblower, my lord.
Yeah, of course. For some reason the name is familiar.
As a midshipman, my lord, I was seasick while at anchor in Spithead on board Justinian. I believe the story is still told.
Not the connection I seem to remember, Mr. Hornblower. Well, I regret I cannot give you your immediate revenge. Though I should be most glad to have the chance of studying your play of the cards again.
Your lordship is very kind.
Unfortunately, I'm due to dine with Lambert.
Admiral Lambert, my lord.
You know him?
I had the honor of serving under him on the Jamaica station. I am dining with Mr. Bush, who also served under Admiral Lambert and commanded the storming party from Renown that compelled the capitulation of San Domingo.
A capital piece of work, Mr. Hornblower. Now I connect you, sir. It was in my mind to persuade Admiral Lambert to return here with me after dinner so that I could offer you your revenge. In which case, would I find you here?
I should be honored, my lord.
I cannot answer for Admiral Lambert. But may we take it as being settled as near as may be?
Certainly, my lord. So Bush and I dined at an eating house in Broad Street. Boiled mutton, potatoes, carrots and parsnips, barley and a dab of peas pudding, swimming in pale gravy, and all for fourpence. If it hardly stimulated appetite, it kept away hunger. Then we mopped our plates clean with bread. Finally, with an eye to the reckoning, I put my hands in my pockets. Good Lord.
What is it?
Bush, look at this.
But nothing to take on about, surely. I wouldn't mind finding a half crown in my pocket.
Well, it wasn't there this morning. I know too well just what money I have in my pockets.
Do you mean that wench put it there?
But it must have been Maria. So that's why she took my coat to sponge it.
She's a good soul, Hornblower.
But I can't, Bush. I can't.
Why not? She's only trying to do you a good turn. No need to look as if the French had landed because a girl slips a half crown into your pocket.
Yes, but don't you see? I mean, I can't...
You're the one who cannot see, I fancy.
Oh, very well. Well, we'll make the most of it, by God. A pint of port wine and currant duff pudding with a saucer of jam.
Have you heard they're putting the Hastings into commission again?
Yes. Only peacetime establishment. Three lieutenants and all selected 3 months back.
I was afraid of that.
I don't look so downcast, Bush. Our chance will come.
Do you think Lord Parry will really bring Admiral Lambert to the long rooms?
I've no doubt of it. There's no need for you to come if you don't want to sit idle while I play.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
First rubber to you and me, Mr. Hornblower. I thank you for your excellent partnership.
Your lordship is too kind.
This time I part to you, Colonel. If you will sit opposite me. It would be pleasant, would it not, if the country could dispense with these dirty notes and restore our good golden guineas.
Woods up.
Longshore sharks meet every ship that comes in. 23 and 6 months they offer for every guinea, so you can be sure they're worth more than that.
Look at this, Lambert. You see, the French have restored their currency. Yes. What they used to call a gold louis or a 25-franc piece, now a Napoleon.
Napoleon, first consul.
And on the other side, French Republic. Republic.
Sir hypocrisy, Parry. His is the worst tyranny since Nero. But we'll show him up in good time.
Amen to that. But we're delaying the business of the evening. Will you cut, Colonel?
Aye.
You will sit here on my right, Mr. Hornblower.
With pleasure, my lord.
These stakes are damn small, in my opinion, my lord. Must we play as low as this?
It is for the company to decide, Colonel. I have no objection to half a crown instead of a shilling, Mr. Hornblower.
As you please, my lord.
You, Lambert?
No sort of objection.
Then it is agreed.
We played another rubber. Fortune was with me. We played two more. The colonel, as it chanced, did not play as good a game of whist as he thought he did. And it is that the two admirals, Parry and Lambert, exchanged from time to time amused glances. The result of the games, from their point of view, was hardly as significant as it was from mine. I could not help noticing that Bush, apparently almost somnolent in the background, twitched and shifted uneasily in his chair. I had the notion that, under his lowered lids, he was following the fall of the cards with very considerable attention.
We've won it, Mr. Hornblower. And I thought all was lost. I'm much in your debt.
I would be enchanted to know, Mr. Hornblower, why you were so certain that my king was unguarded. There were two other diamonds to be accounted for.
You were marked with the king, my lord. You were also marked with holding 3 clubs. With only 4 cards in your hand, the king could not be guarded.
Which only confirms me my conviction that you play an excellent game of whist, Mr. Hornblower.
Thank you, my lord.
Admiral Lambert has already told me why your name was familiar to me. It was regrettable that the immediate economy imposed on the Admiralty by the Cabinet should have resulted in your commission as commander not being confirmed.
I thought I was the only person who regretted that, my lord.
And I was forgetting that I owe you a further 35 shillings, Mr. Hornblower. Best beware of footpads on your way home.
Well, Mr. Bush will be walking home with me, my lord.
Good. And our orders go into force at 4 this morning, Lambert?
Just so, my lord.
I wish you, gentlemen, a very good night.
What the devil are those orders Admiral Parry spoke of, Hornblower?
How should I know?
What did you win?
About £45. I wish it had happened yesterday, that poor girl.
Maria? Why trouble your head about her?
I don't know, but I do. Have you forgotten her half crown? What's this?
May I ask you two gentlemen who you are?
We are naval officers, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. I see that now. I beg your pardon, sir.
This way!
What the devil?
We've
got another two here, Sergeant! Boney can't have landed or all the bells will be ringing.
But look there! Check shirts, blue trousers and bludgeons. The press gang's out.
It's like old times. They'd have had their waistbands cut so they can't run far. Poor devils. A likely lot of prime seamen.
Hard luck for them. Still, it may be war. Parry could have told us.
War?
You're safe.
Well, of course we're safe, Mariah.
Well, that noise in the street. Is it the press gang?
Yes. It may mean that it's war.
War?
Don't worry, Miss Mariah. It'll be many a long year before Boney brings his flat-bottomed boats to these shores.
Well, it's not that. You'll be going away, Mr. Hornblower.
Well, I may have my duty to do, Mariah, yes.
What's all this noise?
Well, they think it's going to be war again.
Then perhaps some people will pay what they owe.
Mother!
Shut your mouth, miss. It's only because of you that I've let this young spark run on.
I'll pay my reckoning. Here. And I'll give you a week's warning.
Oh, no, Mr. Hornblower.
And here's something I owe you, Mariah. Now, for God's sake, don't cry. Next morning, the letter came from Admiral Parry to confirm that on occasion it was profitable to play whist. It read,
"Sir, it is with pleasure that I inform you, in advance of any official notification, that your promotion is now confirmed and that you will shortly be appointed to the command of the sloop of war, Hotspur."
Hornblower. I don't believe the Admiralty could have made a better choice out of the whole list of lieutenants.
You're too kind.
Mr. Bush is quite right. Only I wish I was dead.
Mariah.
I'll never see you again. I was so happy to make your bed and do your room and now this happens.
But I've my duty to do. We'd best get out of here, Mr. Bush.
There is more than one sort of duty, don't you think, Mr. Hornblower?
Lieutenant Hornblower, you heard Nigel Anthony in the title role and as the narrator, with Terence Skelton as William Bush. The part of the Marquis was played by Jeffrey Banks, Mrs. Mason, Delia Corry, her daughter Maria by Nina Holloway, Admiral Parry, Martin Scott, a Colonel of Dragoons, Herbert Smith, and Sergeant of Marines, Ron Davies. The Hornblower story is directed by Trevor Hill, assisted by Christopher Hayton Webb.
Aha! And so we see that it's not always as easy to navigate the waters of love as it is to navigate through the sea. Well, I hope you've enjoyed these adventures with Horatio. I know I have. There are more stories to be told, but I believe we're going to take a break for a while. But alas, he will be back, and we will carry on more with him in the future. Well, we're going to make this a quick episode today. So as always, I encourage you to check out the forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org. Check out the blog site at journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. If you'd like to submit a story to the podcast, read the submission guidelines and submit your stories to journeyintosubs@gmail.com. So until next week, be safe out there and journey on.
This is Scribe from Pendragon Variety, a genre writing podcast, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it and with whomever you would like. The theme music for this podcast has been provided by Man in Space.